So we are continuing chapter 11 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. "See you later," he said to Ron and Hermione as he made his way out of the Great Hall alone, doing everything he could to ignore more whispering, staring, and pointing as he passed. He kept his eyes fixed ahead as he wove his way through the crowd in the entrance hall, and then he hurried up the marble staircase, took up a couple of concealed shortcuts, and soon he left most of the crowds behind. He'd been stupid not to expect this, he thought angrily, as he walked through the much emptier upstairs corridor. Of course everyone was staring at him. He'd emerged from the Triwizard Maze 2 months ago, clutching the dead body of a fellow student and claiming he'd seen Lord Voldemort return to power. There had not been time last term to explain himself before everyone went home, even if he had felt up to giving the whole school a detailed account of the terrible events in that graveyard. He had reached the end of the corridor to the Gryffindor common room and come to a halt in front of the portrait of the fat lady before he realized he didn't know the new password. He said glumly, staring up at the fat lady, who smoothed the folds of her pink satin dress and looked up sternly back at him. "No password, no entrance," she said loftily. "How come the fat lady can't just recognize them all?"
"Because Polyjuice Potion."
"Because what?"
"Polyjuice Potion."
"Why doesn't it have a magical enchantment that, like, on the map, you know?"
"That's a good point. I don't know."
"Harry, I know it." Someone panted. "What's that?"
"I mean, like, we have better things, like the way that Sophie gets into her apartment. She has one of those little electronic things that she swipes over the door and then lets her in."
"Yeah. See, well, yeah, a key would be better than a password."
"Yeah."
"Harry, I know it." Someone panted from behind him, and he turned to see Neville jogging toward him. "Guess what it is? I'm actually going to be able to remember it for once." He waved a stunted little cactus he had shown them on the train. "What is he about to say?"
"Mimbulus Mimbletonia."
"Mimbulus Mimbletonia." "Correct," said the fat lady, and her portrait swung wide open toward them like a door, revealing a circular hole in the wall behind, through which Harry and Neville now climbed. The Gryffindor common room looked as welcoming as ever, a cozy circular tower room full of dilapidated squashy armchairs and rickety old tables. A fire was crackling merrily in the grate, and a few people were warming their hands before going up to their dormitories. On the other side of the room were Fred and George, who were pinning something up on the notice board. Harry waved goodnight to them and headed straight for the door to the boys' dormitories. He was not in much of a mood for talking at the moment. Neville followed him. Dean Thomas and Seamus Finnegan had reached the dormitory first, and were in the process of covering the walls beside their beds with posters and photographs. They had been talking as Harry pushed open the door, but stopped abruptly the moment they saw him. Harry wondered whether they'd been talking about him, then whether he was being paranoid. "Hi," he said, moving across to his own trunk and opening it. "Hey, Harry," Dean said, who was putting on a pair of pajamas in the West Ham collars. "Good holiday?" "Not bad," muttered Harry, as a true account of his holiday would have taken most of the night to relate, and he could not face it. "You?" "Yeah, it was okay," chuckled Dean. "Better than Seamus's, anyway. He was just telling me." "Why, what happened, Seamus?" Neville asked as he placed his Mimbulus Mimbletonia tenderly on the bedside cabinet. Seamus did not answer immediately. He was making rather a meal, ensuring that his poster of the Kenmare Kestrels Quidditch team was quite straight. Then he said, with his back still turned to Harry, "My mom didn't want me to come back." "What?" said Harry, pausing the act of pulling off his robes. "Oh, he's Irish, isn't he?"
"Yeah."
"Okay. She didn't want me to come back to Hogwarts." No, wait. Hang on. "She didn't want me to come back." Help me out.
"She didn't want
She didn't want me to come back to Hogwarts.
Yeah, she didn't want me to come back to Hogwarts.
She didn't want me to come back to Hogwarts. She didn't want me to come back to Hogwarts.
No, you said Indian.
Yeah. Alright, we'll figure it out as we go along. Seamus turned away from his poster and pulled his own pajamas out of his trunk, still not looking at Harry. But why? Harry said, astonished. He knew that Seamus's mother was a witch and could not understand, therefore, why she should have come over so Dursley-ish. Seamus didn't answer until he had finished buttoning his pajamas. Well, he said in a measured voice, I suppose, because of you. What do you mean? Said Harry quickly. His heart was beating rather fast. He felt vaguely as though someone was closing in on him. Well, said Seamus again, still avoiding Harry's eyes. Well, it's not just you, Harry. It's Dumbledore, too.
That's good.
She believes the Daily Prophet, said Harry. She thinks I'm a liar and Dumbledore's an old fool. Seamus looked up at him. Yeah, something like that. Harry said nothing. He threw his wand down on his bedside table, pulled off his pajamas, stuffed them in angrily into his trunk, and pulled off his robes and pulled on his pajamas. He was sick of it, sick of being the person who was stared at and talked about all the time. If any of them had the faintest idea what it felt like to be the one all these things happened to. Mrs. Finnegan had no idea, the stupid woman, he thought savagely. He got into bed and managed to pull the hangings closed around him, but before he could do so, Seamus said, Look, what did happen that night? You know, with the Cedric Diggory and all. Seamus sounded nervous and eager at the same time. Dean, who had been bending over his trunk, trying to retrieve a slipper, went oddly still, and Harry knew he was listening hard. What are you asking me for? Harry retorted. Just read the Daily Prophet like your mother, why don't you? That'll tell you all you need to know. Why is Harry being such a bitch?
Because it is hard.
Yeah, but Seamus is clearly asking him to confide.
Oh, I know, but it's the straw that, I mean, it's like, it's hard to be objective for Harry.
I can understand if Seamus said it in a way of like.
No, but I mean, it's like asking somebody, so what happened the night you were raped?
Oh, I see. Yeah, I guess you're right. You're right.
Like that, he saw Voldemort. Not only did he see Voldemort come back to life, he killed this kid in front of him. They had to battle. You know what I mean? Like, it's very much like being violated.
Yeah, that's true. Although,
part of Harry's blood to bring Voldemort back to life.
Although, given that he needs friends right now, and this is someone who's trying to be a friend.
But he's not doing a very good job. He's not doing a very good job of trying to be friends.
Well, he asked him genuinely, and Harry's.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, even if you ask a person genuinely about, you know, something similar, it's not.
Yeah.
The best thing to do as a friend is to just let them tell you in their own time. Or if they, like, bring it up, to let them talk about it.
True, but this is the kind of thing that, since it's so, like, it affects the whole wizarding world, you know? It's not the kind of thing that's personal. I mean, it is personal, but it's also public.
Right, but the problem is that it's personal for Harry, and Harry's a young boy.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And so what should really happen is that Dumbledore take the lead on it, which she seems to be.
Yes, that's true. That's true. What are you asking me for? Harry retorted. Just read the Daily Prophet, like your mother, why don't you? That'll tell you all you need to know. Don't you have a go at my Don't you have a go at my mother? Snapped Seamus. I'll have a go to anyone who calls me a liar, said Harry. Don't talk to me like that. I'll talk to you how I want, said Harry, his temper rising so fast he snatched his wand from the bedside table. If you've got a problem sharing a dormitory with me, go and ask McGonagall if you can be moved. Stop your mommy worrying. Leave my mother out of this, Potter. What's going on? Ron had appeared in the doorway. His wide eyes traveled from Harry, who was kneeling on his bed with his wand pointed at Seamus, to Seamus, who was standing there with his fists raised. He's having a go at my mother, Seamus yelled. What? Said Ron. Harry wouldn't do that. We met your mother. We liked her. That's before she started believing every word that stinking Daily Prophet writes about me, Harry said at the top of his voice. Oh, said Ron, comprehension dawning on his freckled face. Right. You know what? Said Seamus heatedly, casting Harry a venomous look. He's right. I don't want to share the dormitory with him anymore. He's a madman. That's out of order, Seamus, said Ron, whose ears were starting to go red, always a danger sign. Out of order, am I? Shouted Seamus, who, in contrast with Ron, was turning paler. You believe all the rubbish he's come out with about you-know-who, do you? You reckon he's telling the truth? Yeah, I do, said Ron angrily. Then you're mad, too, said Seamus in disgust. Yeah, well, unfortunately for you, pal, I'm also a prefect, said Ron, jabbing himself in the chest with a finger. So unless you want detention, watch your mouth. Seamus looked for a few seconds, as though detention would be a reasonable price to pay for what was going on in his mind. But with a noise of contempt, he turned on his heel, vaulted into bed, and pulled the hangings shut with such violence that they were ripped from the bed and fell in a dusty pile on the floor. Ron glared at Seamus, then looked at Dean and Neville. Anyone else's parents got a problem with Harry? He said aggressively. My parents are muggles, mate, said Dean, shrugging. They don't know nothing about no deaths at Hogwarts because I'm not stupid enough to tell them. You don't know my mother. She'll weasel out of anyone, Seamus snapped at him. Anyway, your parents don't get the Daily Prophet. They don't know our headmaster's been sacked from the Wizengarnet and the International Confederation of Wizards because he's losing his marbles. My gran says that's rubbish, piped up Neville. She says it's in the Daily Prophet that's going downhill, not Dumbledore. She canceled our subscription. We believe Harry, she said simply. He climbed into bed and pulled the covers up to his chin, looking owlishly.
That's like why I love Neville. And that's why Neville belongs to Dumbledore.
Yeah, that's true. He climbed into bed and pulled the covers up to his chin, looking owlishly over them at Seamus. My gran's always said you know who would come back one day. She says if Dumbledore says he's back, he's back. Harry felt a rush of gratitude toward Neville. Nobody else said anything. Seamus got out his wand, repaired the bed hangings, and vanished behind them. Dean got into bed, rolled over, and fell silent. Neville, who appeared to have nothing more to say either, was gazing fondly at his moonlit cactus. Harry lay back on his pillows while Ron bustled against the next bed, putting his things away. He felt very shaken by the argument with Seamus, whom he had always liked very much. How many more people were going to suggest that he was lying or unhinged? Had Dumbledore suffered like this all summer, at first the Wizengamot, then the International Confederation of Wizards had thrown him from the ranks? Was it anger at Harry, perhaps, that had stopped Dumbledore from getting in touch with him for months? The two of them were in this together, after all. Dumbledore had believed Harry, announced his version of the events to the whole school, and then to the wider wizarding community. Anyone who thought Harry was a liar had to think Dumbledore was too, or else that Dumbledore had been hoodwinked. They'll know we're right in the end, thought Harry miserably, as Ron got into bed, extinguished the last candle in the dormitory. But he wondered how many attacks like Seamus's he would have to endure before that time came. And that's the end of chapter 11. And next we'll read chapter 12, called Professor Umbridge. And we'll probably get to work on my squeaky voice.
I hope you like that kitten. I love you very much. You're a very sweet kitten. And you're so kitten-like. Have a good night's sleep and sweet dreams. I love you.